Hi, this is Pastor David Crank.
And Pastor Nicole.
Thank you so much for downloading our podcast. We really love spending time with you, and we hope that you will be inspired today.
Make sure that you subscribe to this podcast, and every week you'll get a fresh new message sent straight to your phone or your computer.
Are you ready? I know God has something amazing in store for you today, so let's get going.
They want me to use this thing for you guys so that you can see this at all the campuses. And I guess right now I just needed a little rescue. And does anybody ever need some rescue in their life? I have needed some rescue before. And just a second ago, if you're just tuning in, we had a shark on the screen and we had some Jaws music. And I have a story that goes with that. You see, my family were scuba divers. And so we decided to go to Shark Canyon in the Atlantic Ocean because to see a shark as a scuba diver, it's kind of a big deal. So we put on all our gear and we go to the middle of the ocean, and me and Austin and David and Morgan, we start descending and the boat takes off. It's going to be back in about an hour and no big deal. And there's like 20 of us and everybody goes down and David's having some trouble. So we start going down, but we're going down slower, and it's a drift dive, which means you don't even have to swim. As soon as you get down, this current just like takes you. So like within 2 minutes, everybody's gone. Boat is gone. Me and Austin and Morgan are swimming as hard as we can underneath the water to stay underneath David, who is still at the top. And while we're sitting there, we see this sign means shark. So we see one or two swimming by. Now, when you're a scuba diver, you're not so worried about it because sharks don't attack this way. You're pretty cool because you're down there with them. Sharks attack this way. And what they attack is sick and floundering fish. And my husband's up at the top swimming like this while he's trying to fix his gear. And we're underneath watching three or four more sharks go by. And all of a sudden, we're getting a little bit nervous. 2 minutes go by. Six sharks go by. My husband can't get down. We're getting wore out. I'm afraid the current's going to take us away, and there's no boat. And I can see all of the movies happening in my head. Is anybody right there with me? All campuses, do you see what I'm seeing right now? Pastor David finally makes it down. He finally descends. And when he descends, get the nerve of Pastor David. He's mad. He's mad because he couldn't see us the whole time, and he thinks we left him. So when he gets down, he's like, because you can't talk because you got a regulator, you're underwater. So he's like, you can kind of hear this. But he's like, you watch me, and I'm watching you, and we're sitting together. And then he takes our arms physically and links our arms together. And I'm sitting here going, bro, we saved you from 20 sharks. And that's why was there a shark running around? Why was there a song called Rescue Me? Because COVID happened, y'all. And there's a stupid election and serious injustice. And I don't know about y'all, but homeschooling, I think I'd rather face Jaws. I just don't know. This thing has been going on. And suicide rates are skyrocketing. Depression is skyrocketing. I get more DMs from people than ever saying, Pastor, I don't know what I'm going to do. People are quitting their jobs, quitting their marriages, quitting life, not getting out of bed. And I'm like, okay, there is a rescue plan in place. And I think people are just forgetting about it. So whether you're at RPC, Ferguson Fluorescent Weldon Online, you're watching by TV, or City Sunset Hills, I want you to look at me right now in the eyes. And I want to tell you, you are not alone. God is for you. He is not against you. He has never left you. So I want to read you something out of the High God book. I know most of y'all have the High God book. And if you don't have it, I'm going to read out of page 77. So I put it on my Insta story. So when you see this, go to my Insta story if you don't have the book. But if you do have the book, you might want to read it later or screenshot it so you can study this out later. But it says, it's about going under. Anybody feel like during COVID, you don't even have to say currently because you don't have to admit to anything that you're feeling right now, but you have during COVID felt like I was going under. I needed some help. It says, I don't know how to say it, like I'm drowning. But it says, I'm surprised you didn't hear the sound of me gurgling when I said that. I've been trying to keep my head above water, but I'm not sure that I can. I've been treading water for as long as I can, and it seems like the water's getting higher and higher. And I can imagine what Peter felt like when he said, I was starting to sink. I'm still breathing, which means I'm not under. Yet I feel like I'm in the same place that Peter was. And you might be thinking right now, well, who's Peter? Like, who are you talking about? Well, there's an account. It's not a story in the Bible because it's a historical account. There's a historical account in the Bible in Matthew 14. If you guys would go to Matthew 14 for me, verse 25. The disciples are in a boat. They are going across a lake, and all of a sudden, this is the Sea of Galilee, actually. It's kind of like a lake. Big lake, small sea. This storm comes up out of nowhere. Hello, 2020. This storm comes up out of nowhere. Things start going crazy. They're fighting for their lives, and at 4 in the morning, all of a sudden, they see this dude walking across the water towards their boat. And when the disciples saw him, they were terrified, and they screamed like a bunch of little girls. A ghost! Oh, a ghost! And they are freaking out. I want to tell you, this year, there might have been some things that have freaked you out. But a lot of times, when Jesus comes on the scene, the way he arrives and the form that he takes is so unexpected, because God is not a math formula. It is not 2 + 2 = 4 with God, or we would work the formula and not worship the God. So here he is, and he comes to us almost always in a form that is going to scare us. He wants us to do things that we wouldn't conceive. He wants to step out in a faith that seems scary. He wants us to jump out of a boat in the middle of an ocean when it looks like the boat is going to take off. And we're like, God, this looks crazy. He's like, no, I have an amazing plan for you. So the disciples scream, a ghost. And Jesus answers in verse 27. That's... Ooh. Oh, here we go. That's what I'm looking for. Then Jesus said, be brave and don't be afraid. I am here. I love the words I am. Whenever I read my Bible, I'm a paper book reader. And when I read my paper Bible, I read it with a pen and a highlighter. And sometimes I post a bunch of that stuff on my Instagram. But I always draw a square around the word I am. And then I've started recently keeping a list of the word that comes after it. Because when Moses was on the backside of a desert, he had murdered a dude. Now, in church today, I want you to be honest with me. If you have never murdered anyone, all campuses, RPC, Ferguson Florissant Weldon Online, if you've never murdered somebody, raise your hand. Okay. Anybody with their hand down right now, security? If you would help them social distance. So, you know, most of us haven't ever murdered anybody, so we're all good. We're good. But Moses had murdered somebody, and Jesus was choosing him, which was a huge step of faith. He was on the backside of a desert. He was really scared, and he's like, okay, God, who do I even tell people that you are? And you might be wondering today, God, I can't wrap my mind around what's happening in my life. I can barely muster the energy to make it through day after day and week after week right now because I can't see where things are going. And God answers him, and he says, just tell him that I am. Okay, that's cool. You're what? I am here. I am able. I am willing. I am mighty God. I am everlasting Father. I am creator of the universe. I am the bright and morning star. I am the lily of the valley. I am the wheel in the middle of the wheel. I am the redeemer. I am the forgiver. I am the glory and the lifter from your head. I am your help. I am your provision. I am your health. I am your healer. I am your savior. I am your saving grace. I am your mercy. I am your future. I am your past. And I am right here in your present. Jesus says, I am whatever it is you need me to be. Faith Church, if God has ever been there for you and you know he is yours, would you worship him right now? Turn to your neighbor and says, he is. He is. We have to remember, he doesn't show up how we want him to show up. It feels like we're going under, kind of like the guy who was in a flood. There's this dude, he was in a flood. He's a Christian. He's like, God's going to save me. I'm praying God's going to save me. And a rowboat comes in his front yard, dude, get in. Come on, we got you. He's like, no, thank you. God's going to save me. Well, the water keeps coming up. It gets up into his living room, and a motorboat comes by. And they're like, sir, come get in the boat with us. We're here to save you. He's like, no, thank you. God's going to save me. And he keeps praying, God, you're going to save me. I know you're going to save me. And the water keeps rising, and he gets up on the roof, and a helicopter comes by and drops out a ladder. And they're like, sir, climb up the ladder. We're here to save you. He's like, no, thank you. I prayed, and God is going to save me. Sounds like people I hear in the church lobby. And they're like, okay, and they leave. The water keeps rising, and the man ends up in heaven, and he is mad. And he gets up to St. Peter, and he's like, look, Peter, I don't know what's going on here, but I prayed that God would save me, and he didn't show up. And Peter said, he didn't show up. We sent a rowboat, a motorboat, and a helicopter. What else did you want? Well, it sounds like us, right? In verse 28, Peter shouts in verse 28. He says, Lord, if it's really you, I mean, I don't need to put this thing on and step out because that can't be God. God couldn't want me to stay when I want to go and make me hang in there when I want to run. God couldn't, like, move me when I want to. Lord, if it's really you, I need a sign. Why do we want signs? Right? Like, God's like, I've spoken to you. You're supposed to be led forth with peace. God, if it's really you, I know. Tell me to come join you on the water. I'm the boat. Surely you're not going to say that. And he said, okay. And he wants Peter to step out on the water. Here's the crazy thing. God's always going to ask us to do something that takes great faith to meet him where he's at. That's the part that freaks me out. He shows up the way we don't want him to show up. He shows up in a way that's going to scare us, and he's going to ask us to do something that makes no sense. Let me ask you that. After those qualifications, are you pretty sure you've heard from God at some point in your life? Yeah, me too. But when you do that, the Bible says the willing and obedient eat the good of the land. And that's, he's got this grace and favor thing in mind. And who did not get one of these booklets about grace and favor last week? Did you get one of these last week during Vision Sunday? If you didn't get one, the ushers are going to hand this out at all campuses right now. If you're online, this is in your chat right now. You can look at it in the chat. If you didn't get one of these, raise your hand. This is our vision for the next 5 years. God spoke to Pastor David, who, by the way, is probably the most accurate man hearing from God after 23 years of being his wife and listening to him hear from God and watching it happen. When he says, I think God told me something, I get out my pen and I write it down at this point in time. And he says, God told me that the next 5 years are going to be 5 years of grace and favor for the people who will lean in. There are five foolish virgins who are going to do it the world's way, and the world's going to be really bad for them. But at the same time, there's going to be 5 years of fat, 5 years of favor, 5 years of unmerited grace that is poured out on the people who are keeping their wicks trimmed and keeping their oil full. What does that mean? That means we're planning on planting campuses in O'Fallon, in Shiloh, Illinois, in Boynton Beach, Florida, and in Festus, Missouri. We're planning on reaching more people. There are people that are hungry. But you and I, we're going to live in our 5 years of grace and favor. And we've got 4 more weeks. Everybody say 4 more weeks. 4 more weeks to save. 4 more weeks to sow. 4 more weeks to get in on the beginning of 5 years of grace and favor offering. It's our Jesus offering for the year. And here's the thing. God gives us the vision to reach all these people. But you determine the speed of the vision. Are we going to go slow? Are we going to reach less people? Okay, that's okay. That's what we'll do. Are we going to go fast? Is everybody in? Is everybody helping? Is everybody doing their part? Yeah, let's go. Let's reach these people. Let's save them. Rescue me. Ba-na-na-na-na. You know, it's amazing. They never asked me to be on the worship team. I don't know. But we're literally a human chain of hope. You see, God's got somebody waiting to rescue you. And that's the thing. Somebody did their part in another Jesus offering to help reach you. And God's doing his part right now to reach you where you're at. So there's this family They were celebrating a birthday or something, and there was like 9 people in the family, and they went to the beach, and they were just hanging out. They waded in the water a little bit. They ate, and about the time that they were ready to go home, they noticed there was this like hubbub on the beach a little further down. The lifeguard was gone for the day, and everybody's kind of screaming and pointing, and they think that there's a shark. We've all been there before. So they go down to see what's going on, and people had gone through the water to this shallow sandbar. And then there's some water again in this other shallow sandbar. But what had happened is there was no shark. There was a riptide. And so people got stuck in this riptide, and they'd been out there for a long time, and they'd started drowning. And there was about 60 people on the beach, but nobody was equipped to go out and get them. So the mom of this family of 9 said, "We can't let them drown. We can't just sit here. Help isn't coming. We're the help." So she started organizing everybody on the beach. There were 60 of them. Some people could swim, some people couldn't swim. And so she's like, "Okay, everybody link arms. We're going to make a human chain, and we're going to go out to get them, and we're going to help them." So they started making this human chain going out there, and it wasn't far enough. There was still like 10 yards of this riptide. So everybody's doing their part. Some people can't even swim. They're scared, but they're in the human chain. And what? We still can't reach them. So the mom says, "I'll do it. Give me a boogie board, and I'll head out there, and I'll go help those people." So they push her out to the end of the human chain, and when she gets out there, she paddles out on this boogie board, and the very first person she goes to is the mom. The mom has her 2 young sons who she's holding up because they can't swim anymore. The fact that she's holding them up, she's under the water more than she's on top of the water, and that's why the other mom chose her first. And she swims out to the mom, and she says, "Hey, you, come with me." Mom goes, "No, take my sons." She didn't care if she drowned in order to save them. It reminds me of God in heaven. We're flopping around and we're hurting, and he says, "I know there's one way that I can save you, and it's really going to hurt me, but I'm going to give you my everything. I'm going to tell you, take my son. And he's going to cover you, and he's going to forgive you, and he's going to make a way where there is no way, and he is going to rescue you out of the darkness, and he's going to take you out of the depression, and he's going to fix your body, and he's going to save you from hell. Take my son." That's our job, church. To reach the hurting, to reach the desperate, to reach the people that are sitting in these chairs and watching this stream right now thinking, "I don't know if I can make it to tomorrow." That's our job, to reach out to them and get on the boogie board and do the hard thing and do a little bit of giving and say, "Here, you know what? This is all that I can do. But Jesus said, take my son, so I can at least get on the boogie board and I can say, I'm going to be a part of the solution. And when I'm strong, I'm going to lend you my strength." God never, ever leaves us. But sometimes we got to realize what we're dealing with. You see, Peter, I think it's verse 30 still, if they want to put that up. Peter, he says, go to the next verse. I think it's verse 30. And then Peter, but when he realized how high the waves were, he became frightened and started to sink. "Save me, Lord," he cried out. "Save me, Lord." You know, it takes humility to ask God to save us. A lot of Christians know 1 Peter 5:7, and even if you're not a Christian, you've probably heard, "Cast your care upon the Lord, for he cares for you." 1 Peter 5:8, "The enemy goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." Whom he may. He can't devour you because you've cast your care. But most of us miss 1 Peter 5:6. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And if you read the Passion Translation, it actually says put on an apron of humility. Like wrap yourself in it. It takes humility. You can't cast your care on God if you think you can fix the problem. We have to be humble enough. If my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, I will hear from heaven and heal their land. And what's crazy is if you read the Passion Translation, I wrote this in a circle of friends email a couple of weeks ago to my circle. We're always trying to add to our life, but it says that humility is the grace and favor multiplier. And God had shared that with me before Pastor David told us it was the 5 years of grace and favor. We got to get humble enough to say, God, how do you want to use me? How do you want to use me in this Jesus offering? How do you want to use me in my life? Or right now, you might want to be one of the people say, I feel used, but I don't know how to get out of this. I wrote in the workbook, and we posted this on my Instagram too, so you have it. It says, God, I could have sworn I was right. Oops, I'm on the wrong page. Don't you love when that happens? I honestly feel like I'm drowning right now. My muscles are tired. I'm trying my best to tread water and keep my head up, but it's getting harder and harder. I feel like I'm starting to sink. I had somebody come up to me after last night's service and said they wanted to commit suicide yesterday. I don't know who you are in the sound of my voice right now, but I'm saying, listen to me. The God of heaven and earth cares about you, and he's talking to you right now. I'm sure you remember watching Peter start to sink on the waves of the Sea of Galilee. Maybe that's a little bit like what I'm feeling now, but you didn't let Peter sink. All he had to do was cry out to you. I'll do the same thing right now, Lord. Save me. I desperately need your help. I can't do this on my own. That's not a failure. That's the beginning of faith. Faith doesn't begin until our ability ends. We have to get to the end of us before we can get to the beginning of him. You're not over. Your faith journey is just getting started. But we have to realize where we need him. So this is what I want you to do. Get out a notebook, get out a piece of paper, get out your vision bulletin that you just got, pull out your phone. I need you to do this. I can lead you to water, but I can't make you drink. And I'll tell you who's going to try and keep you from drinking, the devil. He's going to distract you. You don't need this. This is for other people. No, it's for you because God brought you here today. This isn't church. This is a divine meeting. I'll do the same thing right now. Lord, save me. I desperately need your help. And I want you to write down five things. I can't handle these things without your help. Why five, Pastor? Well, I wrote this book last year. And yet God was speaking to me all throughout the workbook. It's five, 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 five. Why? Because five is the number of grace. I knew that when I wrote this. I didn't know that this was going to be the 5 years of grace and favor. But I do believe all of this is connected. I wrote five because I came from the sales world. And the first three objections, until you get no three times, you don't even get to the real reason. Your first thing will be like, oh, because my wife drives me crazy, because I want to kill my kids, because my boss is a jerk. But then you run out of excuses and you have to get real. Don't write three, write five. Everybody say five. There's five more things I want you to write. It says, I have faith that you'll rescue me just like you rescued Peter. Not because I'm good, but because you are. Because you loved first and continue to love no matter what. You're faithful. You're my savior. You're everything I need. I'm going to skip a little bit and go right to this. This week, here are a few things I'm going to do to focus less on my circumstance and more on my savior. What can we do to humble ourselves and pray? What can we do to focus on him instead of that? What you focus on tends to manifest. And I want to help you with that. Psalm 34, if you'll put that up for me. Psalm 34, verse 4 says, I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from how many of my fears? How many of my fears? How many of my fears? Let's back up for a minute. I sought the Lord and he hung up. He put up the text bubbles but never typed anything. He lost the email in his spam filter. No, I sought the Lord and he, and then he delivered me from Well, that's one verse. Okay, let's keep going. He delivered me from all my fears. Let's keep going in that in verse 5. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. Verse 6. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. And what did he do? He saved him out of, I feel like Vanna White. How many? Wait, I got to be Vanna one more time. How many? Ding, I'd like to buy a vowel. As we lift our hands up to God, when we pray, he hears us. And he delivers us from all. But what is the key? So let's go back to verse 4 for a second. Is it okay if I take you really into the word and give you the nuts and bolts tools that you need to dig out when the world tries to throw all the trash on you? Is this okay with you, all campuses? Is this all right? So I sought the Lord and he answered. So we have to seek the Lord. So let's go to Matthew 14, verse 30. Matthew 14, verse 30, it says, but when Peter saw how high the waves were, he got frightened and he started to sink and he cried out. And he cried out, save me. Oh, there it is. I'm not used to this thing yet. I'm still learning. He cried out, save me, Lord. Save me. Here's what I want to show you. I was going to go back into the High God book, but we only have a couple of minutes left, and I really, really, really want you to get this. I want to go to Psalm 107:6. I'm going to take you to four places in Psalm 107, then I'm going to take you four more places in Psalm 107, and you're going to see that I'm going to set up a doctrine right now that tells you God hears you every time, and he's going to save you every time, and he moves on you immediately. So in Psalm 107, verse 6, it says, then we cried out, Lord, help us, rescue us. And there's three words. What are these three words? And Lord, help us, rescue us. And he did. So then in Matthew 14, verse 30, what happens is Peter cries out, Lord, save me. And then in verse 31, it says, and Jesus immediately. When did Jesus move? Jesus immediately stretched out his hand and lifted him up and said, what little faith you have. Why did you let doubt win? I don't want to pass that up. Jesus immediately. So there's this little boy. His name is Mason Banks. He lives in Atlanta. I interviewed his dad for my TV show, and actually in the TV show kind of little clip that you saw earlier, you see him on there. We used him for everything because he's like got so much personality. And out of nowhere, he comes up telling us that we needed to go to Marco's Pizza immediately. And it was in such a way that we have never forgotten it. It became a family joke. And I cannot imitate Mason because he is just that cute. So I brought you just the little Instagram clip that we took that day. Check this out real quick.
Today, your uncle's pizza tastes just some bread, and your socks will pop off immediately.
You know what God's gonna do? He's gonna pop your socks off immediately. He's gonna move on your problem immediately. He's gonna come to save you immediately. Just like he did on October 13th, 2010, for 33 men. They were in Chile, and they were miners, and all of a sudden, the mine caved in. And when the mine caved in, they thought they had no hope. There was a man, his name was Jose Enrique. And the 33 guys turned to Jose and said, Jose, we need you to pray. Jose said, okay, I will on two conditions. One, when I pray, everybody prays. And two, we only pray my way. Because I know how to pray a prayer of faith. So every day at 12 and every day at 6, they started praying. So they prayed this prayer, and it was powerful. And a day went by. 2 days went by, 3 days went by, 4 days went by, 5 days went by. It was dark. There was no food. There was no water. There was no sound. There was no help. 5 days went by, 6 days, 7 days, 8 days, 9, 10, 11, 12. 17 days went by. They never heard a sound. It seemed like God had forgotten them. But on day 18, they heard something. Did you hear something? I think I... Was that doing that before? Or, no, that's it. I heard... Somebody knows we're down here on day 18. So they were saved on day 19, right? No. Day 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 50, 60. Day 61, about day 62, Jose finally said, we're going to pray today. I want to pray a special prayer. I want to pray a prayer where I ask y'all to make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. And out of 33 men, 22 men committed their life to Christ on day 62 of dark and dank. It wasn't until day 69. On day 69 is when they broke through. Here's what I want to bring up to you. It might seem like God hasn't responded for 69 minutes, 69 hours, 69 days, 69 weeks, 69 years. But I don't know if you were watching this on TV, but as soon as the Chilean mine collapsed, do you know when the whole world started moving? Immediately. Immediately, the news crews went to Chile. Immediately, they started ordering equipment. Immediately, they started reaching out to experts. Immediately, they started sending out rescue crews. Immediately, they started sending out doctors. Immediately, they started sending out ambulances. Everybody moved immediately, but it still took 69 days. So let's go back to Psalm 107:6, and we're going to run through some things really quick. In Psalm 107:6, it says, when we cry out, Lord, help us, rescue us, the three words are, and. Come on, I want all campuses to say, and. And. Now go to verse 13. Then we cried out, Lord, help us, rescue us, and. The only thing that changes in that whole verse is the number at the bottom. Exact same verse, exact same outcome. Let's go somewhere else. Let's go to verse 19. And then we cried out, Lord, help us, rescue us, and. Well, that's just weird. Let's go to verse 28. And then we cried out, Lord, help us, rescue us. And the next three words are. Never once did it say, well, he took a break. He was too busy. He was handling more important business in heaven. No, every time they cried, Lord, help us, rescue us, he did. And Peter shows us, Jesus reached out. When did Jesus reach out? He reached out immediately. It might take you a second to see what God is working on, but he's with you. So what do we do in the meantime? You know what's amazing is every time after verse 6, there's verse 8. And every time, Lord, rescue us, save us, and he did, comes this exact same verse. It says, verse 8, please. So lift your hands and thank God for his marvelous kindness and his miracles of mercy for those that he loves. And he says it again in verse 15. He says, so lift your hands to God for his marvelous kindness and his miracle mercies for those that he loves. And verse 21 says, so lift your hands and give thanks to God for his marvelous kindness and his miracles of mercy to those that he loves. And it's verse 31. It says, so lift your hands to God for his marvelous kindness and his miracles of mercy for those that he loves. Because he's never lost a battle. He has never failed. He is willing and he is able, and he's not going to leave you ever. Somebody worship him.
Thank you. Hey, thank you so much for listening today. I certainly hope you enjoyed this message. And if you did, I want you to share the podcast with a friend. Sometimes you don't know what your friend's going through, but perhaps this podcast can be an encouragement to them.
And for all our resources or to give a gift today, check out faithchurch.com. David and I love you, and we're praying for you.
We can't wait to see you next time.